Great to be with you tonight. Thank you for the invitation. We're happy not only to be with all of you, but gives us an opportunity to be with our grandchildren. And there's nothing in life to me that has ever given me any more joy than our grandchildren. And I know that's true in your life too. I want to tell you a little story about Madeline and Henry. They were over at our house a couple of weeks ago, and they wanted waffles for breakfast. So I was mixing up the waffles, and they were behind me, and they didn't know that I was listening. And Karen got up, and she was in the shower. And Henry leaned over to Madeline, and he says, "Why does she take a shower every morning?" And Madeline said, "Well, that's what grown-ups do." And he said, "My dad doesn't do that." And she said, "Yes, he does every day." And he looked at her like, Well, as was mentioned, I'd like to invite you to turn to the book of Habakkuk. And it's a small book in the Old Testament. It's a little hard to find. It's in the Minor Prophets. It's the fifth book from the last of the Old Testament. And I want to begin with this passage at the very end of the letter of the book, which is kind of the theme of the book, is the conclusion of the book. And I won't read all of that, maybe, but in verse 17, Habakkuk 3:17, if you're there, he says, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the field and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels." Appreciate Brad did a nice summary of that verse, paraphrasing. When everything seems to be going wrong in your life and the future seems dark, "I will rejoice in the Lord, the God, the eternal God. He is my strength. He will make me stand on high ground." And it does seem like many times in our world today that almost everything is going wrong at times. And we have had a lot of these shootings in our schools and in our malls. I know we're all concerned about that. And many other problems happening in our culture, in our world, around us, that affect us. And sometimes we wonder, why is this happening? Why is God allowing this to happen? But it's also true that just in our own lives, many times there are things that are happening, that problems come up in our lives, health problems that can come so suddenly on us, like one of our members, Iberian, apparently just found out that he has pancreatic cancer. And, these things just come suddenly, and they can change your life so suddenly. And we can have personal problems in our own lives that we're dealing with, and family problems, and so many different things in life that can seem to be all going wrong at the same time. I enjoy reading books, and I have found, and you have probably found this too, that when you begin a book, especially like a novel or a mystery, something like that, that it's hard to get into the story at first. And until something goes wrong, you really don't have a story. And I think it's like that in life, that when we see these things that are going wrong in the world and in our own lives, that's when our faith is it at its best. That's when we really learn the meaning of faith and what it means to trust God. And Habakkuk was having that problem in his life. He was looking around in the society of that day. He lived about 2,600 years ago in Judah. And it was in the days shortly before what we know as the Babylonian captivity. But things in Judah at that time were sort of coming apart. Things, the moral fabric, the moral foundations were crumbling. And as he is going to be talking about that. But he was having a personal issue over these things. He was a prophet of God. And yet this book is very unusual among the prophets of God in the Old Testament, because many of them are sermons, the preaching. And this one is not like this. This reads like a personal journal. And it is much of it is a conversation between Habakkuk and the Lord. And it's a conversation that he goes to God with his complaint, with the problem and the confused thoughts that he's having. And God comes back and answers his question. But this question, that the way that God explains it to him, causes even further confusion in his mind. And so he responds to God a second time and questions, why then are you responding this way? And God then comes back and gives a much fuller explanation to the prophet. Once that happens, he begins to think about those things that God has explained to him, and he begins to understand. And it changes his perspective. And he then writes a hymn of praise to God. As we see how he dealt with the problems that he saw happening around him, I think the same thing works in our life, the same process. That if we can learn how he dealt with these problems, that same process works in our lives today, just as it did for him. And so I want us to take a few minutes and look at the book of Habakkuk tonight. And to me, this is a jewel. This little book is a jewel in the Old Testament. And if you've never taken the time to really read through it and study the message that he has, it's a tremendous message. It's a message that we all need in our lives. And once we learn some of these wonderful verses in this book, I believe they can be with you from now on in your life, and they can really help each one of us. So as I say, it's a short book. There's only three chapters in the book of Habakkuk. And in chapters 1 and 2 is where he is having this conversation with God. He's asking a question to God. God is coming back and answering his question. And that raises even more questions. He goes and asks again. And God then gives him a fuller, more complete response. And then he accepts that and he thinks about it. And he takes that in and it changes his whole perspective. And he begins to see things as God sees them. And he realizes that God is in control. God is to be praised. God is a wonderful God. And he has a plan and a purpose in all these things that are happening. And I'm convinced and believe that is so true in our world today. So after this conversation is where he ends the book with a hymn of praise to God. So let's turn to chapter 1 and begin looking here at the first complaint, the first question that he asked of God. And so in verse 1 of Habakkuk, he begins the book. He says, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. In other words, this is a prophecy that he saw, that he received. This message, this answer from God is something that he learned directly from God, and he is sharing that with us for our benefit and all others who have the opportunity to read this message from him. So in verse 2 of chapter 1, he begins then to ask his question to God. O Lord, he says, how long shall I cry? And then really that sums up the problem, the struggle that he was having. How long, Lord, are you going to allow this that we're seeing in our culture, in our society, to continue? And he says, and you will not hear, even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. There is strife and contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. So Habakkuk was overwhelmed with the breakdown of morality, the loss of law and order was breaking down in their society. And this was very troubling to him. He could see that his nation, the nation of Judah, was in steep decline at this time. And we see that happening in a lot of our world today. We see it happening even in our own country. Imagine what it must be like living in a country or a society where law and order has completely broken down. You see, there are places in the world today that that has already happened. But what we're seeing in our world, in our country here, I believe is the breakdown of morality, the breakdown of our moral order. And if that continues, then it is going to lead to the collapse of our society. It's going to lead to the collapse of our nation. It cannot go on forever, that type of thing. And he understood that. He was very concerned about it, and it seemed to him that God was not doing anything about it. And he had apparently gone and others to God, but this was continuing. So it was confusing to Habakkuk. And I think that is where he starts out in this progression of his thinking, that he is very confused. He's experiencing confusion at this time. Well, he knew what to do. He knew to turn to God in that. And that's what we all need to know and understand also, is that when we're experiencing that type of thing, either in our society today that is deeply troubling to us, or in our own lives, that what we need to do is turn to God and seek His help, go to Him. So he does this. He goes to God and he asks this question, how long do I have to put up with this situation that we see occurring here? How long is this going to last? There was violence, there was disorder, there was chaos happening there in his own nation. Perhaps living even in the city of Jerusalem, he was witnessing these things. Lord, I need your help. So the Lord then responds. The Lord responds to the prophet here. And he says, beginning with verse 5, look among the nations and watch, be utterly astounded. For I will work a work in your days which you would not believe, though it were told you. Now, looking at that verse, and I think some people have done this, looking at that verse, and it seems to be saying God is going to do something so amazing, so wonderful, that we would not believe it if he were to tell us. But that's not what he's saying. He's saying just the opposite of that. He says God is actually going to do something so terrible that you wouldn't believe it. He says, "For indeed I am raising up the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity proceed from themselves." God is about to do something that they would not believe, that Habakkuk would not believe. But it doesn't mean that he's going to do something wonderful and just fix the problem. All too often, I think, when we go to God, we expect that. We think we go to God and tell him what is on our hearts, and he's just going to fix the problem. And so the Lord comes back to Habakkuk, and he says, "I am getting ready to do something. I am getting ready to do something. What I'm going to do, though, is send the Babylonians to invade your nation. And many of you are going to be carried away." So it wasn't what the prophet was expecting to hear from God. He was thinking that our nation has many, many problems. Our nation is out of control. Things are falling apart here in the land of Judah. Lord, how long are you going to wait to do something, to fix this problem? And the Lord says, "You're not going to have to wait much longer. I am going to do something. I'm going to send a foreign nation here to invade your land." He goes on to describe the Babylonians, what type of people they were. Now, we need to understand, if we were going to compare today, something that might help us get a perspective on the Babylonians, we could think about ISIS and what they are doing, pillaging in the Middle East even today. And even sending some of their people into all parts of the earth, even here within our own country. I'm getting ready to raise up the Babylonians, the Chaldeans, a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. They're very cruel. They're ruthless. They're vile. They're evil. And we see those things happening in the Middle East today. I was watching the other night an interview with the Prime Minister of Israel, Bibi Netanyahu, and was asking the question to him. They said, what would you say are the three most pressing issues for the nation of Israel today? And he said, Iran, Iran, Iran. And he went on to talk about how great a threat the nation of Iran poses to Israel and the Middle East today. But the Babylonians were a powerful army. They just swept through the Middle East from the Persian Gulf. And now they were headed to Judah. And the prophet is learning from God that God is going to bring this about. This is his doing. In response to what Habakkuk is asking him about, when he's going to do something, how long is it going to be? He's saying, "I'm getting ready to do it very soon. And you won't believe what I'm going to do." Well, this raises Habakkuk's confusion even further. It's not the answer that he thought he was going to receive. And so he comes back and begins asking God a second time, as they're having this conversation, "Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die, O Lord. You have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. Now, I love the way that Habakkuk, when he is addressing God, the Lord, even in asking these questions, he is always bringing in the attributes of God. He is addressing God to being the sovereign God, the one who is the rock, the one who has all power, and understanding that. And he understands the covenant relationship that God has made with Israel. And I think that's what he's getting at when he says, "We shall not die. Whatever happens, Lord, I know you are not going to destroy our nation. You're not going to destroy us because you have made those promises with Abraham. But you are an everlasting God. You see things different than we see them. You look from the eternal perspective. We are here on earth." But he says, "You have appointed them for judgment, your own people, according to what you're saying. You have marked them for correction." And he says, "You are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and you cannot look on wickedness. Why then do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he?" What he is saying is, "Lord, I understand we have a lot of problems here in our nation. But the Babylonians, they are much worse than we are. They are a vile people, Lord. We are your own people. Why would you allow them to correct us?" He can't reconcile this in his mind with the very righteous nature of God, that God is too pure to even look upon evil. Why then would he allow the Babylonians to discipline and come and invade the land of his own people? That is his question for God. So God comes back immediately and he asks, he gives him now a much fuller response to this. Habakkuk goes on down into the end of the chapter there, and even to the beginning of chapter 2 and verse 1, and he says, "I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected." In other words, I'm now going to be quiet, and I'm going to await your answer. So the Lord does that immediately. He doesn't have to wait at all for God to answer that question. And he says, "Write the vision, make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it." This is a message then that God is giving the prophet, that he wants him, as soon as he receives it, to send the runner to tell this message to the people. "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." Things are going to happen according to a sequence of events, and God is in control of it all. It's going to start happening soon, and it's going to happen according to God's plan, in his time, according to his purpose. But make no mistake, Habakkuk, it is going to happen. But then he gives what I believe is the great verse in the book of Habakkuk. Verse 4. "Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." To me, this is the great verse of the book of Habakkuk. The verse that we all can apply and take to our hearts. And it's a verse that had such a great impact that it looking forward, it looks into the New Testament plan of salvation and is quoted three times in the New Testament, in the book of Romans, in the book of Galatians, and the book of Hebrews. This verse is quoted. "The just shall live by faith." Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith. The proud is going to be judged by God. The just is going to be blessed by God. That's God's answer. That's God's principle. That's God's truth for Habakkuk and for the people of Judah. It's his message for us today. The enemy, the Babylonians that you're asking about, this wicked nation, they're puffed up with pride. They rely on themselves. They're so powerful that they think that they don't need God. They are a sovereign of themselves. They are sufficient of themselves. God sees that in them. I'm going to deal with the Babylonians. Don't worry about that. But what I want you to understand is the just will live by faith. Sometimes in our lives, the only thing we can do is live by faith. The only thing we can do is trust God. We can't figure it all out. We can't answer the questions. We can't explain it. We can't solve the problems. We don't have any answers. All we have is the Lord. And the one thing that we know we can always do is we can live by faith in God. We can trust Him. When everything else goes wrong, when everything else fails, He is still there. And we can live by faith in God. Well, the Lord didn't stop His conversation with that. He had a couple of other things to say to the prophet. He went on to say that he's going to deal with the Babylonians. Their time is going to come, no doubt about it. But when that happens, eventually, he wants him to understand that eventually, one day, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. It is not of the Lord of hosts that the peoples labor to feed the fire and nations weary themselves in vain. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. This is messianic. He's looking into the time of Christ. And he is pointing out that the day is going to come like this, that the knowledge of the Lord will fill the earth. And we see that happening with the Great Commission, Jesus sending out his apostles with the gospel into all the world. But in the meantime, what are we to do? So he closes this here in verse 20 of chapter 2. He said, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." Don't give up when all this is happening. When the Babylonians come and invade your land, don't give up. Be calm. Be quiet. Know that the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him. So in these first two chapters, again, what we see is a conversation with the Lord. He begins with the confusion, and then he has this conversation with the Lord. And his question is, "How long, Lord, are you going to allow this to happen?" And he says, "Not very long. I'm going to do something. I'm going to send the Babylonians to invade your land." And he says, "Well, why, Lord, would you allow a wicked nation like Babylon to come against your own people? You are a holy God. You are a sovereign Lord. And why would you do this?" He says, "I'm going to do this according to a series of events that are going to happen. But what I want you to understand is that your place is to live by faith. And all those who live by faith they will live. They will be blessed by God during that time. And meanwhile, someday the earth will be filled with the glory of the Lord. But in the meantime, the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before Him. Well, Habakkuk thought about that. He thought about those things that the Lord had told him. And some of it began to make sense. It all began to make sense as he thought about God. God is in control. God is in heaven. He is on His throne. God is going to do something that we would not have expected. He's going to send a wicked nation to judge our nation, to correct our nation. But He's not going to forsake us. God still loves us. And God will still bless those who live by faith in Him. So in chapter 3, Habakkuk writes a hymn of praise to God. He composes a hymn of praise. And I have been impressed that some of the songs in our books that we sing, how that when you learn about the circumstances of how the song was written, that there are a lot of them, there's a number of them that come to mind that are where the author of the song, something very tragic happened in their life. And as a result of that, he wrote the song, and it was a very powerful message that came forth from that. It Is Well With My Soul, for example. The author of that song, his wife and his three daughters had been crossing the ocean, and the ship sank in a storm, and they all died. And he had learned of that, and he wrote that song, It Is Well With My Soul. And the song that There's Within My Heart a Melody is another like that, that his wife and his sons had died in the fire. Their home burned down. Well, those circumstances, many times it causes that out of that deep grief that the person is experiencing, he writes a wonderful hymn of praise to God. And that's what happens here with Habakkuk. In Habakkuk chapter 3, in verse 1, he says, a prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. Now, it says in the footnotes to that, that it is some type of musical notation. And at the end of it, at the very last, said to the chief musician with my stringed instruments. Those things are telling us this is a song, this is a hymn of praise to God that the prophet wrote. And in the first part of this, he talks about how God comes to the help of His people in times like this. God responds to His people. And He has always done this. When His people cry out to Him, God comes to help them. He says His brightness was like the light. He had rays flashing from His hand. And there was His power was hidden. He goes on to speak about this, this aspect of God, that He will always be there. He will come to the aid of His people. And in verse 11, he says, the sun and moon stood still in their habitation. At the light of your arrows they went. At the shining of your glittering spear, you marched through the land in indignation. You trampled the nations in anger. You went forth for the salvation of your people, for salvation with your anointed. You struck the head from the house of the wicked by laying bare from foundation to neck. That's a principle that we can always count on and rely on, that God will not forsake us. He will not abandon us. And when we humble ourselves, when we cry to God, He will always respond to us. But then He comes to this final verses that I mentioned in the beginning, where He says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. Now that would be the worst thing, you see, for an agricultural society. Think about if you were living in a small town, maybe in eastern Washington, and it's a farming community, and they grow crops, and that is the livelihood of the whole town. And there comes a year that a blight or something happens, and the crops all fail. It's a disaster. That's the worst thing that can happen. It reminds me of when we used to live in California, down on the coast of California. We lived in the Santa Paula Valley, and they have a lot of beautiful citrus orchards. And they have the lemons and the oranges and the grapefruit. And they're beautiful. And in the fall time is when the harvest is coming. And they always are worried about a freeze, an early freeze happening. They have in the orchards, they have these what they call smudge pots. And they have those in the rows between the trees. And up high, they have the poles with the rotor fans. And if there is a weather forecast, then it's going to be a cold night. It's getting down into the 30s. They light the smudge pots, and they turn on the fans, and it blows that warm air down through the rows of the trees so they don't have a freeze. Because if that came early and it froze the fruit, they would lose the crop. Habakkuk is saying, if that were to happen, and that would be about the worst thing for them. He says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. He says, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk on my high heels. To me, that is such a beautiful picture of faith. He paints a picture there for us at the very end of this book. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. He will make me walk on my high heels. We all know that the deer, how they're sure-footed. They can go up on the high places. They see that view out there of many miles, the whole countryside. And when we are walking down in the valley, and when things seem hopeless, and if the worst thing were to happen in your life, whatever that might be, we still have the Lord. We still have God. And He is our strength. And if we live by faith in Him, we're going to survive. Everything's going to be okay for God's people in the end. God has a wonderful plan. And if we live by faith, if we trust God, and I always love Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. God will always help us in life. No matter what happens, and you may be down in the valley. Habakkuk was down in the valley. He was confused. But he decided to have a conversation with God. And after having that conversation, he had a conclusion. He saw it. It was clear to him. We just need to live by faith. And sometimes in your life, that's all we can do, is live by faith and trust God. And God will get us through. So he closes with that hymn of praise to God. What a beautiful way to end that. And so I hope that if you haven't already become a fan of this book, that you will. You spend more time, read through this. You can read it in about 10 minutes. It's not a long book. But those verses that jump out of there, they're just powerful verses for our lives. Thank you for your kind attention, for allowing me to come tonight to be with you. And we're going to close by singing the song of invitation.